From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 13th day of July 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Greg Johnson of the Andersons will join us to take a look at the cash grain situation from right here in Champaign County, Illinois. We'll talk about the weather forecast with Mark Russo in Chicago. He's at Brisk Pulse. And we'll also discuss last week's USDA reports and what they mean for soybeans with Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist from the University of Illinois, on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn today finished 6.5 cents lower at $3.34. December 3.36.5 down 8.25. In the March at 3.47.5 down 7.5 cents. July beans were 15 lower on the day. Settlement price there at 8.76.5. The new crop November at 8.75.25, 15.5 lower. And January down 15 cents at $8.81.25. Bean oil down 14 cents. Settlement at $27.97. The bean meal at $2.83.10, down $7.70 a ton. July soybeans, wheat futures in the 11-cent range, lower at $5.24.75 for the soft red. Again, that's July wheat. The hard red wheat at $4.40.5, down 6.75 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago, 35 cents lower for the August at $99.65. The feeders up $1.30 at $1.37 and a nickel. And lean hogs at $46.67.5, 70 cents higher. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to help us make sense of what's happened for the last couple of days in the marketplace. Hi, Kurt. Thanks so much. How much rainfall did you get over the weekend?
Well, locally at our house, we had 1.4, but it varied anywhere from all 6 tenths to up to about 1.5 inches spotty. But the disappointing or the discouraged thing, it was a lot of wind, heavy wind activity between you and I up towards Pontiac, down around Lincoln, Illinois there. Hopefully it did not get one of your farms, because it was kind of a brutal situation, along with some spotty hail too. And, you know, all that work and effort and see that happen, that's kind of a discouraging. But fairly decent coverage, you know. It's not a crop-saving rain by all means. We do have some heat moving back into the forecast here as we move towards the end of the week. You know, some more isolated pop-up shower activity. But the trade kind of used that as a, you know, somewhat of a negative price reaction. We'll see, you know, how this forecast unfolds. It's going to change every 6 hours, of course. The crop conditions report this afternoon's expected to show 1 to 2% deterioration out of that good to excellent category for both corn and beans. I think it's probably the important part is a lot of that here in the eastern belt throughout the Midwest, we saw, you know, a lot of heat without the moisture until the weekend. And I think it's important to kind of watch Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio and kind of see where they come in at. You know, western belt, better off, but if you take that western Iowa, there's a big pocket in there that's really been struggling too. So bottom line is tonight's opening will hinge on what that crop conditions report has to show here as a nation, Todd.
So those numbers are due out at 3 o'clock Central Time. Of course, we'll have them tomorrow afternoon on our closing market report from the state statisticians. You're going to get an update at that point from Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota, and what conditions look like in the number 1, 2, and 4 corn producing states in the nation. Be sure to tune in for that one. As you look forward into the rest of the summer, have we made our summer highs at this point, do you think?
Kind of looking at if weather cooperates, I believe so. You know, we still have a lot of growing season in front of us. You know, we're only in the middle of July, and this growing season extends clear into, you know, first part of September. So, you know, it's going to be weather sensitive. If the weather does cooperate, there's ideas that this crop could get larger, and if that's the case, there's some bears looking at December corn futures moving on down to the $3 level, if not lower. November beans, you know, on down towards $8. So there is some price risk to the downside here if we don't see them come back in and put some weather premium back into the marketplace. Also, too, it's one of these situations where there's still fear or concern about demand. When we look at the big picture here, if this COVID-19 virus still headline news, that's, you know, human emotion takes the edge off there as far as being real optimistic. And also, too, the uncertainty about Chinese demand. Last week we saw a huge corn sale to China. In past history, that would have been good for 4 or 5, 6, if not 10 cent higher opening. And we struggled to all day long to see some positive news come out of that. So there's a lot of things out there that suggest that this market here needs to hold where we made some lows today. If you look at the December corn chart, there's 337 areas, about 62% retracement back down to the lows. And same thing in these beans, it's 875, 878 areas, kind of key area. We need to try to hold in here as we move forward.
Clearly, producers will not have been able to clean the bins out for corn. Is there anything they need to be ready to do?
The thing is, guys, laid a lot of offers in above the marketplace to get caught up on some sales. And, of course, we did not reach those levels. So I would continue to have some offers above the marketplace here on some recovery bounces. For those wanting some downside protection here for the next 30 days or so, we've been moving into the September put options just to put a floor under in case the market stays a little bit more negative than what one anticipates. But the good conservative way to do it is on some strength in here, move the cash, then buy a call option to replace it. So if the weather heats up here into July, 1st of August, you can try to recoup something that way. But there's a lot of old crop out there still to be moved yet, and that's going to be the challenge here, along with some new crop marketing here as we move into this fall.
Hey, thanks so much.
Very good.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Hey, thanks, Todd, for being with us. You've written another article for the Farm Doc Daily website, this one taking a look at the WASD, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, and discussing what supply and consumption in particular looks like. What did you find?
Right now, for 2020-21 marketing year, it looks like the soybean consumption levels that USDA is putting out may be on the high end of the possibility set when you consider the economic reality we're living through now. They raised crush 15 million bushels to, 2.16 next year, and we're still sitting at about 2.05 billion bushels of exports. And while that's all feasible and possible, with the kind of issues going on in coronavirus here in the U.S. and some of the issues around trade, and a lot of that growth is dependent on exports, and in particular China. And we've seen good buying out of China, but what's the magnitude of that going to be, considering all the issues that are going on right now? So there's still a lot of uncertainty on it. I'm a little worried about hitting those numbers right now on the consumption side for soybeans, given the economic realities we're living through.
So those economic realities, from USDA's perspective, appears that we'll need to, that we will have a robust recovery. Is that what they show in the WASD, you think?
To me, it feels like both for corn and soybeans, there's an assumption we're going to have a pretty strong economic recovery, both domestically and, around the world. And while we have seen some areas of the world start to recover, we're still going through some stuff here in the United States and in other places, like Mexico still having issues, Brazil still having issues. And there's been resurgence of disease outbreaks around the world. This thing's far from over. And when I look at the numbers, that's some pretty strong consumption numbers for both corn and beans. given where we're at right now. Now, all of this could change. We could come out of this and have a better economic growth than currently projected. But sitting here right now looking forward, we're a long ways from being out of the woods on this coronavirus issue. And while there's been optimism around vaccines, it doesn't look like anything's coming anytime soon. So I think consumer habits and preferences are going to change the way they go about shopping. We're not going to see restaurants open the levels we want. And, you know, in China, they've had flooding, and their economy is dependent on exports. And if the world's having issues, their economy is going to have issues as well. We have seen them start to rebuild their hog herd, but they're not completely back to where they were, and that impacts soybean exports. I expect there to be stronger pork exports to China for the rest of this year, just based on their protein shortfall, which does help domestic consumption here in crush. But, you know, how much soybeans are they going to take, particularly when we look at South America, looking to their major exporters are looking up their soybean crop by about 4.7% next year. And, you know, so that'll be some pretty stiff competition when we get into 2021. So I want those numbers to be right, if not even higher. But I think we all need to, you know, have some clear eyes about where we are in this economic recovery, the kind of uncertainty with China in particular, what that may mean for exports when we think about marketing soybeans.
Given all of this, USDA this month raised the season's average cash price for new crop soybeans by 30 cents a bushel to 850. What do you think about that?
I think it's not a bad price forecast given their consumption levels, right? You got to take that into account. If they don't meet those, it's going to be coming down. And we're still in cash price territory here in Illinois above that number, even though we've seen soybeans plummet the last couple of sessions. So it's not a bad price forecast given their assumptions. If they don't hit those kind of use totals, you're going to see more weakness in that price as we move forward. I'm optimistic China's going to meet their phase one trade commitments. You know, recent comments from the administration indicated basically that the phase two deal is unlikely. And we've got all kinds of geopolitical tensions with China, ranging from military issues to the coronavirus to just trade deals. And so this thing is, the uncertainty is high. And there's always South America there as a possible source with what looks like to be, unless they have a crop shortfall, another huge soybean crop.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
Todd Hubbs is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Now let's talk a little bit about the weather forecast. Mark Russo is here. He's with Risk Pulse from Chicago. Hey, Mark, thanks so much for being with us today. I appreciate it. Can you tell me about the weekend weather that we had, how widespread the rains were, and then look into the coming week for me?
Well, Todd, as we look back as to the rain activity over the weekend, quite a bit of variability in that. Actually, Illinois was one of the big winners with rain activity as these series of storms developed over portions of southern Minnesota and eastern Iowa on the track to the southeast. So for state as a whole, it was really one of the bigger winners with a weekend rain activity, especially in the eastern and northern sections of Illinois. And then outside of Illinois, again, it was a few scattered areas here, portions of Michigan, and then a few thunderstorm clusters developed in portions of South Dakota and Nebraska as well. As we turn now to the forecast and look ahead for the next couple of weeks, really the best opportunities for additional rain activity and these thunderstorm complexes that will be developing and will be the focus of attention is primarily across the northern sections of the Midwest compared to the southern sections of the Midwest. And so think of it like I-80 and north of there would be the better chances of more significant rainfall both this week and next week. And as you go south of there, those rainfall prospects will decrease. Not saying that there's not going to be any rain, but the overall setup is less favorable in the southern Midwest versus the northern Midwest coming up.
The corn crop across the bulk of the Midwest is beginning pollination this week, and well, because of some variability of planting dates through the end of the month, maybe the beginning of August. However, there were some really high temperatures that were forecast for especially the western part of the Corn Belt. Are those still in play for this week in Iowa? Parts of the Dakotas, I think, really were in the bullseye at one point.
Yeah, from a forecast standpoint of heat compared to late last week, the forecast looks a bit less threatening in terms of extreme temperatures or the spatial extent of corn acreage that was initially projected to have high temperatures above 100 degrees. There still is going to be some significant heat here coming up. It's just going to be coming in different waves rather than like one, for all practical purposes, one concentric bubble of heat that would set up for an extended period of time. The next opportunity for, or the next setup for heat building back in, that's going to be over the upcoming weekend and the early part of next week. That's going to be followed by several days of cooler weather before then another bubble of heat moves from the plains on into the Midwest. Still, it looks like the hottest temperatures will be more so western and southern Midwest versus the northern Midwest. And so, again, thinking like or using I-80 as that kind of demarcation, areas along and south of I-80 have the potential there for temperatures, high temperatures climbing above 95, and then minimum temperatures above 75 on the hottest days here coming up, which again, look to be this weekend, early next week, and then followed up by another window late next week.
Does that mean that the oscillation of the high is less east and west and more southwest to the northeast? Is that right?
It's a bit variable here, Todd. So you do have the ridge center oscillating a bit east and west. However, from an intensity standpoint, and this is one of the reasons why the northern Midwest is going to receive significant opportunity for significant rainfall here later on this week, is that with the ridge looks like it flattened a bit. So like the northern extent looks to be kind of pushed down or capped. That's because of these waves of low pressure moving from the northern Rockies and then on into the northern plains and into western Canada. So you do have this east to west motion, but it's like, think of it from an intensity standpoint, northern extent of the ridge is being squashed a bit. And ultimately that limits heat and provides more of a setup for rain development or storm development across the northern Midwest.
Better check in on Ukraine for me as well.
Yeah, Ukraine here last week, if you recall, they had a major heat wave that affected not only them, but the Russia corn acreage. That has now ended, and we do not see any repeat of any long duration heat in either Ukraine or the Corn Belt in Western Russia. And both of those corn belts will also see significant rain activity here coming up. All of the more stressful weather conditions will be in the Russia spring wheat acreage, where very hot and abnormally dry weather will prevail for the next few weeks.
Hey, thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse. On this Monday, let's check the cash grain situation with Greg Johnson. He's at the Andersons. Good afternoon to you, Greg. Thanks for being with us. Can you tell me about crop conditions in the draw area for the Andersons and how big that might be?
Well, we had some pretty good rains last week. They were very spotty, so you can't generalize and say everybody got rain. I know some people only got a tenth or two of an inch of rain, but then other people got 2 inches plus. It just kind of depends, but you know, there was pop-up showers almost every day last week and this weekend. And in general, I would say probably 75% of our draw territory got an inch of rain or better. Now, if you were in one of those areas where you got less rain, obviously your crops aren't looking as well, but there are chances of rain again this week. The 6 to 10-day forecast is wetter. 11 to 15-day forecast is wet. So it sounds like like there's rain in the forecast if you didn't get some last week. But most people, I would say three-fourths of the people in our draw territory did receive at least an inch of rain.
I have driven some of East Central Illinois. It does look pretty variable, or at least did through the July 4th weekend. Is that the case?
Oh, definitely. And I think we're not going to be able to make up for some of that variability, no matter how much it rains from here on out. The thin stands, the replant, some people had to replant 2-3 times. That all is going to weigh on the eventual yield. But it sure feels like with these rains we're getting now and the fact that the corn that did get planted in good shape in early April, that corn looks very good. So that'll offset some of the mid-May, late-May planted variable corn. So in general, it looks like we're looking at about an average crop. It's not going to be, a bumper crop by any means, but it's not going to be hopefully the disaster that it could have been if we wouldn't have received these rains this past week or so.
Across the Corn Belt, as you talk to other folks in the grain elevator system that belongs to the Andersons, is there much of a difference from the eastern side of the Corn Belt to the western side of the Corn Belt?
Yes. In Indiana and Ohio, where we've got some facilities, they missed the rain this past week. So they are really hurting. Their crop conditions probably will drop in the when the numbers come out from the government this afternoon. They really do need some rain in Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. And that's kind of reflected already in the ratings. They're in the 50s and 60% good to excellent category, whereas out west, Iowa, Minnesota, the Dakotas, they're all in the 80 to 85%. So much better corn west of the Mississippi than east of the Mississippi. And we were kind of in that same camp here in Illinois, but thank goodness we got some rain. And so hopefully this will help our crop conditions here in Illinois a little bit.
You think there's a 178.5 or better national yield at the moment across the nation?
I would probably say it's probably more like 176. I don't think it's quite that good, but we're quibbling, I think, a little bit. 2 or 3 bushels one way or the other is still way too much corn, especially with the lack of demand that we're seeing on the ethanol side. So, I think it could be a little bit lower than that, but I don't think it's going to be 5 to 10 bushels lower than what the government's using.
How much lack of demand on the ethanol side?
Well, right now we're seeing ethanol margins have been all right for July, and they think they'll be all right for August. The problem is September forward, ethanol margins are negative September forward. So it feels like we're going to see another drop in ethanol demand from the ethanol plants come September forward. So, we've cut a little bit already, but I think there could be another, 100 million bushels cut from the demand side on just on the ethanol.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Greg Johnson. He is with the Andersons, joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Came to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.